Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. If you are a visitor, we would like to extend a special welcome and thank you for joining in service with us today. If you would record your attendance on the pads located at the end of the pews. A few announcements I would like to highlight from the back of the bulletin. Our 75 days of prayer continue. If you have not heard, prayers were written by the pastors and the staff at Asbury for the whole church to connect with one another to God in prayer. You are encouraged to pray along with each of us through Good Friday. You may download a copy of the prayer booklet at asburylr.org or pick up a copy here at the church. Let's pray together. We want to thank all of those who helped bring the ministry fair together. We certainly hope that everyone here was able to be a part of it and see all the available focuses upon Lent coming up. Next Sunday, the 14th, is the Valentine's Day banquet. Everyone is invited. Adults are $10. Child care and food for 11, and under is $5. It will be an evening of fun, music, games, and of course a great dinner. Come and support our youth. And Ash Wednesday service is this Wednesday at 6:30. Let's go ahead and give each other signs of reconciliation and pass the peace. At this time, I would like to invite Val Carr to come forward to speak.
Hi, my name is Val Carr, and I'm a member of your hard-working staff and parish committee. And we are interested in letting you know that we are want to be in touch with you concerning our various changes that are occurring in the staff here at Asbury. We understand you may have some questions, and we're happy to answer them. We are doing some personnel changes that have made some changes in the last couple of years. We invite everyone to come and talk to any of us on the committee. Our names are listed in the bulletin today. And we need to, of course, keep the confidentiality of the committee in effect. Please talk to us if you have any ideas for the following. We are currently looking for a part-time church administrative assistant. They will give general support to the staff, 20 to 25 hours a week, and flexible hours. We are also seeking a full-time or part-time praise and worship leader for the contemporary service. Some duties will be assigned to them other than praise and worship as their skills qualify them. Please feel free to give us any names that you have to Pastor Mary or any of us on the committee. Thank you for our prayers, for your prayers, for our success. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
you will stand and join with me in singing hymn number 57, O For a Thousand Tongues to Sing, verses 1, 2, 4, and 7.
Good morning. So this morning I want to talk about remembering. Okay? So years ago, we used to tie a ribbon or a piece of yarn around our finger to remind us to do something. And then a couple hours later, you realize, I don't remember what this was for. But then we came to Post-it notes. Post-it notes are great because I have them all over my desk to write little notes on. Does mom and dad use these? Do you see these? Occasionally? Yeah, you do. And then technology came into play, and now we use our phone to make lists to remember of what we're supposed to do. But we still forget, don't we? Well, the reason why I was talking about remembering today was because Jesus, on the night before he died, he had a very special meal with his disciples called the Last Supper. Very good. And so he wanted his disciples to remember about him after he had died. And so what did he do? He gave them a piece of bread, which was their body, and they also had some wine, which was his blood. And so he said, do this in remembrance of me. So every time that they had the wine and they had the bread, they could remember who Jesus was. And so I wanted to talk about that today because as years have gone on, just like from going to the tying the string on the finger to a post-it note to now the new technology of a phone, the same thing that continues year after year after year, several years, is that every time that we come and we take the bread and we drink the juice, who does it remind us of? Jesus, that he loves us and he died for us. So remember that when you take communion today, that every time that he loves you and then he died for you. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today and help us remember you. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
It is now time in our service that we pray. I would want you please to look on the back of the bulletin for the prayer concerns. In addition to those, please add Amy Bennett's grandmother Gloria and Vicki Logan's father. Please let us pray. Lord, we pray for our world, that you would shower all societies and cultures with love and peace in a world that seems to only become more violent and greedy. We want to turn to you as our source of strength and follow your holy path. We cry out to have those in poverty given comfort and the aid they need. We cry out to have the wars of the world to come to a standstill and for peace to reign, true, genuine peace. We cry out in the name of all those who suffer either from disease, starvation, or even without access to clean water. We don't know what type of struggle, but we pray you'll lead us to helpful actions and solutions that can make a difference for them. You lead us, God, to experience your grace in ways we could never imagine, and that incredible grace has sustained us through every trial, temptation, struggle, and hardship. We give you the honor, praise, and worship you so richly deserve. May we in turn serve you and our neighbors with unconditional love. Now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Give if you can. That is our Lenten mission beginning next Sunday, February the 14th. Every Sunday we collect will be a different type of food. Be sure and bring canned meats next Sunday, tuna, beef stew, etc. Food donations will be given to area food pantries. God, your generosity has shown us how to live. Give of ourselves and serve out of love. Empower us to give to you, and we believe in faith that you will bless these gifts to serve our community in showing them the depths of Christ's love and compassion. Amen. Please remain standing and join with me in the hymn of meditation. There is a fountain filled with blood, number 692, verses 1, 2, 3, and 5.
Amen and amen. Please be seated. It's so wonderful to be gathered with you here today. I've been at a worship conference in the latter part of this week in Raleigh, North Carolina, where we had great worship and preaching. But let me tell you, there is nothing better than worshiping with the people you serve with. So I'm glad to be here, and I hope you are too. Let's now turn to our scripture passage, which comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. Hear these words as they are read aloud, and may they fall and rest upon our hearts and our minds in a fresh and new way. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you do at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow of Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. I had a friend of mine who, after graduating college, decided to go to work for a couple years. And his plan was that after a couple years of work, he would then go and pursue a master's degree in a specialized field. And so he sent all kinds, after that time, all kinds of application letters to a variety of universities. Some he really, really wanted to get in and knew it would be hard to get into. Some he did because he wanted another option. And some he did just because he wanted something out there in case everything collapsed. And what followed was the next few months, he got many letters in the mail. And each letter was a rejection letter of being accepted. Rejected again and again and again and again. And boy, he felt stung. He felt pained because his plan fell apart. Rejection. Think back to a moment where you felt rejection. Perhaps it was years ago, or maybe even recently, where you were in a relationship and the other person in the relationship decides, I'm out. And they reject you. Grief and pain that comes from that. And so often when we're in those circumstances, we don't know that the next day will come, right? We feel trapped in the circling of questions and feelings of that we're unloved. Or perhaps you've felt rejection from friends or family that were close, but something happened, some kind of division, some argument, some obstacle, and they chose to estrange you. Or perhaps you worked in a job, as a career, several years down the line, and you're called into a meeting, and you're let go. You're rejected from where you've been. You see, we as humans, we have all in some way or another felt the pain and the sting of rejection. Well, now that we've thought of something where we were rejected, let's hop over and put on the other hat. When have we been the ones that did the rejecting? That put up the walls? Put up the hands that said, stay back. Think about the pain and the grief that we caused someone. You see, it's important that we balance these two experiences, because if we know what it means to be rejected by someone, and we know what it means to be on the other end and reject another, it should supply us with empathy that we would not want to reject someone again. We actually do a lot of rejecting if we think about it deeply. And then we come to this passage in Luke, this fascinating passage, right? Where Jesus comes to his hometown, the home team, Joseph's son, shares wisdom in the synagogue where it angers them so much they are willing to toss him off a cliff. So naturally, questions pop up, right, when we read this passage. Questions like, why did Jesus use the scriptures he chose? Why does it seem like Jesus knew for a fact that he would be rejected in his hometown? Almost you can sense it that he knew even before he came he was going to be rejected. And why does the town people get filled with such rage? They're willing to get rid of this Jesus completely. It kind of leaves us dumbfounded, doesn't it? So then we have to ask ourselves a question within our own life. What are the things that Jesus says to us? When have we felt moments where Jesus has said something to us that alarmed us? Something that made us feel uncomfortable, shook our foundation. Something that maybe even disturbed us. We want the Jesus that says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And not the Jesus that says, get behind me, Satan. Isn't that right? We want Jesus to affirm what we do. We want Jesus to share with us that he knows and he loves and he thinks that we're doing the right thing, that we're going down the right path, that we have integrity, that we're doing all we can to honor God. And maybe sometimes Jesus must need to share with us a reality check that shakes us to our bones, to our very core. Our very core. You see, the last passage that made the townspeople so angry referred to lepers, and in how in Isaiah there was a leper from Syria, a Syrian living in Egypt, Israel, that was healed. Not everybody else in Israel that was a leper, but a Syrian, an enemy, an opponent. Lepers are already distanced, ignored, pushed to the side, but an opponent that's a leper, well, that's even further, right? Jesus shares that one is healed. That one is welcomed. brought back into the community where he belongs. I believe recently the Supreme Court ruled a change in the juvenile system, where juveniles are no longer to be placed in isolation. And the reason I believe they chose to do that is because it causes emotional and psychological harm. We as humans are social people. We are relational. Even if you're an introvert, our relationships define us. They define who we are. And if we're shut off from the world, the impact that that has on the mind is unsettling. But now think of the folks on our streets whom society and lots of times us, if we're honest, we create this isolation, right? We ignore them, try to scurry past, pretend they're not there, and that it's its own way of isolating them, rejecting them, and not accepting them into the love of God. We get uncomfortable with some of the things Jesus says. For instance, I come to bring a sword. Father will be against son, brother will be against brother. Now, the meaning behind that is not an actual sword, although that has been done in the Christian faith, unfortunately. But what Jesus is talking about is that if you follow the way of Christ, if you follow the way of unconditional love, a path of peace and holiness that is countercultural to the world around you, there are going to be others that don't see it, don't understand it, don't get it, maybe even feel threatened by that type of life that just seems peaceful. So conflict arises sometimes in families and friendships. But here's what we must do as Christians when it comes to rejection. And there are a couple different ways we do this. And the first focuses on the next church season coming up, Lent. As we enter into Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent, it's a time for us to reject things that stumble and trip up our discipleship and our faith journey. It's to push things aside, reject the things that draw attention away from God being at the center of our lives. The other way is that we must seek to do away with the rejection of people. The pain it causes, the hurt. Seeking to bring comfort and peace and love and compassion to all those that struggle, that have been rejected and are rejecting others. We are called to set an example in our own lives, working with the grace of God that has been given to us, and to share that. We are to be opposed to the rejection of others, pushing aside of others where it demeans them, makes them feel unloved. When I was in high school, I had the great honor and privilege of being selected to be a part of a student ambassador program where some Arkansas students teamed up with South Carolina students, and we went on a great trip to Europe. And one of the components of that trip was that each person got to be a part of a four-day homestay with a French family. What an incredible experience. I knew a little bit of French, but not enough to be good or proficient. And so it was so fascinating to communicate with this family that had taken me in for 4 days to feed me, provide me shelter, provide me with conversation and hospitality, a glimpse into the life they lived. Here's the thing, though. They signed up for that. They chose to be a part of this program where they would take in a high school student and care and give comfort and hospitality. What have you signed up for? The sign is through our baptism. The sign of our baptism is that we have been acknowledged as a child of God. And we have taken vows to reject the evil of this world, the power hungry, the greedy, the things that seek to divide. So, brothers and sisters, we have a chance to embrace the grace of God in a radical way where we can accept one another, grasp hold of one another, because we cannot live in isolation. We cannot do this journey of faith alone. It takes the community, and with that, the grace of God. How will you fight rejection? How will you share love to someone who has felt the sting of that? May we gain comfort and strength and endurance and hope by the loving and powerful grace of God that is active here and now and available to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to turn in your hymnals to page 12, and as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. This is a table for the rejected. This is a table for those that have felt pain and hurt and distress in their life. This is a table for the weak, those who feel caught up in sin and temptation. This is a table of forgiveness, acceptance, and of radical love. And everyone is welcome. Will you join with me in the prayer of confession and pardon? Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your law. We have prepared against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ our Lord promises forgiveness and reconciliation to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And now with your people on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord took bread, simple, ordinary bread, and said, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat of it in remembrance of me." And after the supper had been shared, our Lord took a cup, just a common, ordinary cup, and again gave thanks to God. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you will drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, Almighty God, and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body and blood of Christ, redeemed, transformed, sent to serve, love, and give of our lives. You hold the grace that can make the difference with how we will live. Through your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours now, Almighty Father. Amen. Body of Christ, given for each of us. The blood of Christ, poured out and shed for us with great sacrifice, so you will know love. Will those that will come to assist come forward? We have a gluten-free option. If you need that, just ask the server. And we also would like to let you know we have an offering basket that will be placed in the center aisle. And you're invited to make a donation that will go to our community fund that helps those in need.
Thank you.
Join me in prayer. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I invite you to now stand as we sing our closing hymn, One Bread, One Body, found on page 620. There are those who'd like to come forward to unite with our congregation by reaffirming your faith or joining the life of our church, or if you'd simply like to come and pray at our rail, we invite you forward at this time. God loves you. Don't let anyone or anything ever say to you that is not the case. God loves you. And now your job is to go and say that to others so that they know that God loves them. So go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.